It's time for our money man, the sports professor Rick Haro, joining us as he does each and every week at this time during our golf business and law segment, sponsored by the law firm of McDonald Hopkins in West Palm Beach. And I am not a lawyer, just a non-lawyer spokesperson for the law firm of McDonald Hopkins. I'm very good at being a non-lawyer spokesperson, but Rick is an attorney, and he joins us now. Good morning, Mr. Haro. How's your Sunday going so far?
My Sunday is going well. I was up at CNN doing a thing on the All-Star Game as well, and heading out later to actually be there. So that's an interesting event. And, you know, we had Tiger broken leg U.S. Open. Then we had the Nadal sprained knee Wimbledon. Now we're probably going to have the, you know, A-Rod sprained whatever All-Star Game. How does that sound? And then we're going to get back into the Tigerless British Open. So, you know, it doesn't stop. This is supposed to be the dog days of summer, but it's some pretty good events.
Yeah, Rick, we talked about it at the beginning of the show. You know, the summer months are all about sports going overseas. We had the Wimbledon finals last week, and congratulations again to Venus Williams, Palm Beach Gardens resident, and a great tennis player, her fifth Wimbledon title, besting her little sister Serena. And then in the men's final, it was just a phenomenal match. Some are saying the best ever between Rafael Nadal and Roger Federer. And Nadal finally got over on Federer on grass. And now we got the British Open, so and the Tour de France is going on as well. So we've got a lot of events going on over the pond, and the British Open at Royal Birkdale will be taking center stage in a couple of days. I'm assuming you'll be going through New York for the All-Star Game and then heading over the pond yourself.
Well, I will not do that. I'll be going through and then heading back to maybe tee it up and watch. There's since I was over there a couple of weeks ago and had a hole-in-one, there's nothing I can do that's better, so I'm going to be watching it on TV early, and you know, so will you guys. So we'll do something next week, obviously.
Hey, Rick, wanted to ask you a little bit, you know, there's been a lot lately about newspapers cutting jobs, and one of the things that this week's Golf World talked about was the amount of specifically golf writers for newspapers. Our own Craig Dolch for the Palm Beach Post is not, you know, basically he took the buyout, and he's not going to be with the paper in another couple weeks. He's one example, but he's not the exception. It's happening all over the country. That coupled with the fact that I just also in Golf World read that golf rounds are down by nearly 5% from this May to last May, and they're 2.2% down overall in the year 2008 over 2007. I think we see these trends all the time, and I would assume that a lot of this is related to the economy. But as to golf itself and the fact that you have a lot of the newspaper guys are all saying, hey, one of the first things to do is our golf coverage is going. You know, where is the status of golf amongst, you know, sort of the media per se? And, you know, is it something that, I mean, we view it as a big thing, but I guess, you know, the print and maybe some of the others aren't viewing it as big a deal as we do.
Well, we better view it as a big thing, right? Because we, you know, play it and we do it as part of our business. And it depends on what media it is. Of course, you have something hitting home when golf writers are being cut. And, of course, you saw that Condé Nast Publications cut Golf for Women magazine after the August issue. They had a rate base of 600,000, which is the magazine publishing six times a year, and they have a calculation with it, and they lose about $7 million a year in 2008 after they split their marketing services and others. And so it's not just that. It's an indication that, you know, the golf business is having some issues. But look, the bottom line of golf, as we've said before, and somewhat tennis, is its real appeal money-wise is to corporate America. And so at about the same time, the PGA Tour finalized a global partner deal with the President's Cup for next year. And you also have some, you know, major sponsors who are making some commitments to the industry for the first time. You know, they'll be okay, except this is a shakeout period for everybody. You know, not just our economy, but golf writers too.
Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic on ESPN Radio 760. Joined on the line by our good buddy, the sports professor Rick Haro, during our golf business and law segment sponsored by the law firm of McDonald Hopkins in West Palm Beach. And I am not a lawyer, just a non-lawyer spokesperson for the law firm of McDonald Hopkins. And usually going into majors, Rick, the storyline is, okay, where's Tiger at? How's his game? Is he peaking? Is he not peaking? But obviously he's on the shelf for the rest of the year, so we can't talk about Tiger. Padraig Harrington is the defending champion. He broke through for the Euros last year in the British Open, being the first one since Paul Lowry in 1999. What's the buzz about going into it? Is it mostly that Tiger won't be at Royal Birkdale?
Yeah, but the buzz is also that you've got a whole bunch of people with a new zip in their step because they have a shot at this, and that's nothing new. But then the buzz will be how bad are the ratings going to be. You know, there's a little bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy about all this. You talk so much about how people aren't going to care, and guess what? Maybe they don't care. But maybe there's also another group of people who says, well, I'm going to show you that I don't care. I'm going to watch no matter what. And, you know, the British Open notoriously is the lowest-rated major of all four here, whether Tiger's playing or not, because it's 10 in the morning and it's 7 in the morning on the West Coast, and some people find it hard to get up and watch golf that early, but that shouldn't really matter if it's dramatic. It's like anything else. If we got a close, dramatic event, people are going to watch it. The Laurie Vandeveld meltdown, Justin Leonard playoff a few years ago at Carnoustie was dramatic. Stupid, but dramatic.
Rick, I play golf a couple days ago with a guy who's a orthopedic surgeon, has some idea of what the operation the Tiger went under a few weeks ago to fix his leg, you know, his knee with the ACL and everything. And he said there's a chance. He said it's not, you know, not knowing Tiger, not knowing, you know, the exact details of the operation, but based on similar operations that he's done, there's a chance he might not even play next year, you know, depending on the severity of it. How long do you think Tiger can be away till the PGA Tour is really affected by his absence in terms of TV ratings and those types of things? I always kind of say, hey, if he can come back for next year's Masters, I think everything's okay. But if it's longer than that, maybe it's you know, more of a detriment or a detrimental effect to the tour and the sponsors and all that stuff. But how long do you think a guy can be away, a la Michael Jordan, and then come back and sort of everything goes back to normal?
Let's put it in perspective, and these are numbers that everybody's seen. Nike is expecting about $75 million less of brand exposure, Buick 10, Gatorade 2, maybe more, just by mentions that won't happen for these 6 months when he's not around. I'm not sure the Ryder Cup has that much of an impact because, you know, Tiger's okay, but he's not the reason people watch the Ryder Cup. And so then you get into what happens in the funny season. People aren't watching the funny season anyway. I think beginning in the Masters, if people start thinking that he may not play in majors next year, then we've got some real issues, sponsors as well. I think this year people will learn to survive for the next 6 months. But if they knew it was going to be for all of 2009, you've got some issues. Bottom line is anybody who says that they know exactly when Tiger's coming back, A, doesn't know, and B, doesn't know how resilient Tiger Woods is, because we've already seen that he's not human, and no matter what happens, it's no doctor, you know, no matter how competent, can predict exactly what's going to happen with that. That's like no broker can predict what's happening with the stock market, no real estate agent can predict what's happening with my property on the water, and certainly, you know, no lawyer is going to be able to predict what's happening with certain things either. So, you know, right?
Well, I'll tell you what, Forbes is predicting, Rick, that Tiger will cross the billion-dollar mark in a couple of years from now. He is, to date in his career, made almost $800 million in both winnings and endorsements over the last 12 years, dating back to turning pro in the fall of 1996. And again, he topped Forbes magazine's list of ranking the world's richest people on the celebrity top 100 list, right around $115 million for last year, 2007. I've seen a couple of different lists. David Beckham on this list was second at $65 million. I've also seen Phil Mickelson listed on Sports Illustrated's list as second. So either way, Beckham and Mickelson made a lot of money last year as well. But Tiger, again, number one, $115 million for 2007. And now, career to date, nearly $800 million. And he will become the first ever athlete to cross the billion-dollar threshold in a couple of years.
Yeah, well, and the lists are a little bit different because one is domestic and one is international, and Phil shows up number two on the domestic list largely because, again, corporate America and those golf dollars, and he's in the $40 or $50 million range, and you know, the 30 or 40 off the course, and Tiger's at the 119 off the course, and everybody admits to at least 100 of that. And when you look at the value of the contracts, for example, if he wants to take out a loan, he takes out his Nike contract, he waves it in front of bankers and says, I need $1 billion. So, and the bankers say, oh yeah, where do you sign? So it's not just what their net worth is today, but it's what the values of those contracts are going forward.
Hey, Rick, I also wanted to ask, you know, with Tiger not playing these next two majors at least, The guy that seemed to have benefited the most from the last one was Rocco Media. You know, even though he lost, the exposure he got, are you able to quantify what that near win almost meant to Rocco in terms of celebrity and endorsements or anything like that? I mean, is that quantifiable now a few weeks later?
Yeah, well, I bought that putter, and you see what it's done in my game.
there you go.
The saber tooth.
That's it. So, yeah, obviously that is an open book, and nobody really knows, but that gives the next guy the ability to become like Rocco. And the other issue is when you look at Ben Curtis, right, and Todd Hamilton and Paul Laurie, those are guys who, if they win the British, it becomes their second major. They've incrementally increased their chances of winning that another major just because Tiger's not in it. The Zach Johnsons of the world, the Trevor Immelmans of the world, who are eligible for their second majors. I guess Rocco's got to win his first before he figures out how to win his second.
Well, I'll tell you this much. There's no way in hell Ben Curtis ever wins another major. That was his one shining moment. He's done absolutely nothing on the PGA Tour since winning the British back in 2003. Anyway, Rocco's got a chance. He is in the field. That's good news for him. And another guy in the field making his first start in the British since 2005, guy named John Vandeveld. How about that? So John Vandeveld back in the British for the first time in 3 years. And I feel pretty safe in saying that he probably won't win this British Open at Royal Birkdale either.
Man, I'm gonna is give Todd Hamilton, who is in the Pro-Am group at the Honda, I'm going to give him your cell number, and I'm going to tell him what you just said.
I'm knocking Ben Curtis, not Todd Hamilton.
Well, you're knocking the guys who won the British Open, who are one-shot wonders, and I'm going to lump it in there, and whether you said it or not, I'm going to call Todd, and I'm going to tell him what I think you should have said.
Just like a lawyer. I'm glad I'm a non-lawyer spokesperson.
Non-lawyer. You're a non-something-something. There are a lot of nons there attached to you. Right. I guarantee you that.
He is our good buddy, the sports professor, Rick Harrow, joins us each and every week during the Golf Business and Law segment sponsored by the law firm of McDonald Hopkins. Rick, thanks for the time as always. Have a safe trip to New York. And I guess you're not going over the pond.
No, so we're going to tee it up maybe Friday. I don't know what you guys are doing, but let's talk. Let's see what's happening.
All right, good stuff, Rick. Take care. Have a good Sunday.
All right, bye.
There he is, the sports professor Rick Harrow joins us each and every week during our Golf Business and Law segment sponsored by the law firm of McDonald Hopkins in West Palm Beach. And I am not a lawyer, just a non-lawyer spokesperson for the law firm of McDonald Hopkins.